Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, April 4th, day 21 of 9/11 on trial. I'm Lisa Giuliani, and you're watching Wing TV.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Now, before we get rolling today, we have to remind you, this Thursday, we're going to start talking about the behind-the-scenes happenings of the 9/11 on trial televised broadcast. And I tell you, folks, there's as much drama behind the scenes as there is in front of the cameras. Lisa well knows. We've been keeping it all together here in front of the camera, but we very much look forward to telling you everything that's been going on. Also, we want your calls on Thursday and this upcoming Friday, commentary on not only the book, but where the 9/11 truth movement is going and so forth. And we'd also like you to point out that on the Wing TV homepage, we have Lisa's latest article. It's called An Open 9/11 Letter to George Norrie. He's, of course, the host of Coast to Coast AM. And there's some rumors going around that he's going to have another 9/11 roundtable discussion. Well, Lisa wrote and said, if they do so, we have to be there. So read that article. You'll see why we said that. And just thank you for tuning in. Hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah. Today we're going to hear from Witness 17, and we're going to reach the juncture of where all this previous testimony has been headed all along, controlled demolition. So let's join the proceedings with Judge Alan Kirkpatrick.
All right, folks, before we get started today, an update. The actor who was supposed to fill this role today canceled out at the last minute. He was so upset about this. Well, before I get that, mind you, he's had the script now for about a month and a half. He agreed to do it. And over the last couple of days, he's been calling. He said he's had some misgivings about it. He's uncomfortable about the role, about the information. He doesn't know if he believes in it or not. So he was so upset today that he actually had his mother call us, his mother, and say that her son was so upset by this role that he didn't think that he could do it. So all I can say is that I feel very, very sorry for this individual, because for the rest of his life, he's going to go through it with this constant fear just ingrained inside himself. Oh, yeah, Lisa's off camera telling me. We even said that we would give this guy a false name, an alias. We're going to give him a bandana to cover up his face. We're going to put a hat over his head so nobody could see him. We even would have put sunglasses on him. To all of this to provide anonymity to him. You know, we said we would never jeopardize anything for him. But this poor kid is going to go through the rest of his life with such a sense of cowardice, of such a sense of fear, that why will he even ever leave his house? Why will he ever leave his house again? Why doesn't he just curl up in a little fetal tuck and just lay in his bed, even better yet, in his mother's womb? And in his mom's cradle. Lisa's handing me some notes here off screen. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about that are telling you about in the intro that we're going to talk about on Thursday, behind the scenes information. And all I can say is the youth of today, I feel very, very sorry for them. And when Lisa said in her article, or her open letter to George Norrie, that this is the most dangerous book in America. Now you see why, folks. It's scaring the hell out of people. All right, we're going to jump into the trial here in a minute. Up with Ellen Kirkpatrick, the judge.
Please be seated. Court is now in session. Today we will continue with the people's case against the United States federal government in regards to the events of September 11th, 2001 at the World Trade Center Towers in New York City. Let us proceed. Witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Your Honor. Today's testimony regarding controlled demolition will be recounted by Victor Thorne, who is substituting for the original witness number 17 who canceled out at the last minute. Victor, the words controlled demolition have been mentioned quite frequently during this trial by various witnesses and the sources they've quoted. Are you aware of any other instances when individuals in the know have referred to the World Trade Center collapse as a controlled demolition?
Yes, I am. One example would be New Scientist magazine, where Mike Taylor of the National Association of Demolition Contractors, which is located in Doylestown, PA, said that the collapse of the World Trade Center towers looked like a classic controlled demolition. In the same edition of this magazine, which was dated September 12, 2001, the following quote appeared. The collapse of the World Trade Center towers mirrored the strategy used by demolition experts. In controlled demolitions, explosives are placed not just on the lowest three floors, but also on several consecutive floors, about a third of the way up the building.
All right. Are these arguments supported by other professionals?
They are. The controlled demolition theory is given additional support by the fact that some people, including firemen, reported hearing explosions, feeling explosions, or witnessing the effects that appeared to be the results of explosions, both in the intermediate floors of the World Trade Center towers and in the sub-basements of these towers.
Were there any others who stepped forward right after 9/11 to voice this same opinion?
Yeah, there was a gentleman named Van Romero.
And who is he?
Romero is the vice president of research at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, and they study at this place explosive materials and the effects of explosions on buildings, airplanes, and other structures, and they often help out in forensic investigations into terrorist attacks, often by... They set off similar explosions and then study their effects. He's also, in addition to that, an explosives expert and former director of Energetic Materials and Testing Center at New Mexico Tech.
What did this gentleman say specifically about the World Trade Center collapse?
Well, Romero told the Albuquerque Journal on September 11th, that's the day of the attack, September 11th, 2001, he said, "In my opinion, based on videotapes, is that the airplanes hit the World Trade Center." He said that based on his opinion that after the airplanes hit the World Trade Center, there were some explosive devices inside the buildings that caused the towers to collapse.
I see. In your opinion, if anyone would know about such matters, would it be Romero?
It would be.
Okay. What else did he tell the Albuquerque Journal?
Well, in the same edition, he said that the collapse of the structures resembled the controlled implosions used to demolish old structures and was too methodical to be a chance result of airplanes colliding with the structures. He also added that it would be difficult for something from the plane to trigger an event like that. It could have been a relatively small amount of explosives placed in strategic points.
Did Romero say why such a technique was used?
Yeah, one of the things of terrorist events, one thing that terrorist events are noted for, is they use a diversionary attack and a secondary device. And this is what Romero said. He said the attackers could have detonated an initial diversionary explosion, in this case, the collision of the planes into the towers, which brought emergency personnel to the scene. Then after that, they would detonate a second explosion.
In this light, I'd like to return to the collapse of each tower. In earlier testimony, we learned that it should have been impossible for the South Tower to fall first, but as everyone knows, it did. Why?
Well, the North Tower, as you said, was hit by an airplane first, and its fires were the most severe. So the big question is, why did the South Towers collapse first? My guess is that the collapses were supposed to appear realistic. This required the towers to collapse while the fires were still burning. However, and this is the big point now, the fires in the South Tower were so small and there were so many firemen rushing in that there is a risk that the fires would have become insignificant. It would look suspicious if the towers vanished.
The fires, you mean?
I'm sorry, if the fires vanished and then the towers crumbled.
All right, since we're on the subject, are controlled demolitions, especially in two of the tallest structures on Earth, something that requires a significant amount of time and planning?
Well, of course, that's obvious. A considerable amount of study, planning, and preparation is required to do something like this. Demolishing a building isn't something you do in a few minutes by tossing explosives like C4 or something into the basement. It takes days of planning, if not longer.
And why is that?
Well, because specific quantities of explosives have to be precisely placed at the key structural locations throughout the buildings, and these explosive charges have to be programmed to detonate in a specific pattern. You have to pinpoint all the load-bearing structures, then you have to wire everything and set the cutting charges so they all go off in a predestined order.
With controlled demolitions, Victor, is there a lot of room for error?
No, there's almost no margin for error.
So this isn't something that could hastily be done on a moment's notice?
Definitely not.
Are there a great number of companies who are equipped to engage in such undertakings?
No, not at all. There's only a handful of companies in the whole world that have the technical expertise to take on such a project.
All right. How then, in simplest terms, is a controlled demolition executed?
All right. For starters, the explosives are detonated simultaneously, destroying the integrity of the steel frame at key points, so that there's no part of the building is supported against the force of gravity.
What happens then?
Well, the entire mass is pulled swiftly to Earth, where gravity does the work of pounding the structure in the tiny steel fragment in the tiny fragments of steel and concrete.
Which is what we found on 9/11. What science is involved in this process?
Well, the gravitational potential energy of the structure is converted smoothly and uniformly into kinetic energy, and then it is available very efficiently to pulverize the fragments of the building as they impact against the unyielding earth. In a controlled demolition, gravity does the lion's share of the work, while the explosives serve only to destroy the physical integrity of the structure.
And if successful, what is the overall appearance of a controlled demolition?
Well, we've all seen these on TV. Controlled demolitions have the striking and uncharacteristic appearance of a smooth, flowing collapse.
Right, a characteristic appearance.
Yeah.
All right, with all this testimony pointing toward a controlled demolition, why didn't FEMA likewise point to this possibility?
Well, FEMA was given an almost impossible assignment. They have to explain the collapse of these buildings while remaining within the framework of the official theory that was given to them.
Why?
Well, not being able to suggest that the collapse resulted from a controlled demolition, the best FEMA could come up with was a theory that only had a very low possibility.
Does this apply to others who advanced the official theory?
Yeah, the same understanding must be applied to Mr. Thomas Eagar and all the other experts who have presented highly improbable explanations of the collapse of the Twin Towers.
Are you saying, sir, that their hands were tied?
Yeah, I am. If political correctness were not a factor, so they could simply state the most probable hypothesis, given the evidence that we've heard in this trial, most of them would surely have chosen controlled demolition.
Are you saying they obfuscated information to keep it from leading toward a controlled demolition?
Yeah, FEMA's report hides and minimizes the core structures whose existence made the symmetric total collapse of the towers due to gravity impossible.
And how much space did FEMA give to these vitally important core structures?
Now, destroying the core columns is key to achieving a total collapse of a building. And yet FEMA's report has only one short passage explaining how the cores self-destructed.
I see. So if the North Tower was struck at 8:46 a.m., would a demolition company be able to rush in and successfully wire it by the time it fell 102 minutes later?
No, there's not a chance of that.
Likewise, could a demolition company successfully wire the South Tower to fall in the 56 minutes between when it was struck by the aircraft and when it fell?
Again, there's not a chance of that happening.
So, if the World Trade Center towers were wired for a controlled demolition, when would it have had to have been done?
Well, this demolition was planned long before the morning of 9/11.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we'd like to add to this testimony the 10 characteristics that are standard features of controlled demolition collapses, which are produced by explosives placed throughout a building and set to go off in a particular order. And we get this information from David Ray Griffin's book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. Victor, can you please tell us what number one is?
Okay, each collapse occurred at virtually free fall speed.
Number two?
Each building collapsed straight down and for the most part into its own footprint.
Three.
Virtually all the concrete was turned into a very fine microscopic dust.
Number four.
In the case of the Twin Towers, World Trade Center Building 1 and 2, the dust was blown out horizontally for 200 feet or more.
Number five.
The collapses were total and complete, leaving no steel columns sticking up hundreds of feet in the air like you would expect.
Right. Number six.
Videos of the collapses reveal these demolition waves, meaning that there were confluent rows of small explosions.
Number seven.
Most of the steel beams in the columns came down in sections, and none of them were more than 30 feet long.
Number eight.
According to many of the witnesses, explosions occurred within the buildings.
Number nine.
Each collapse was associated with detectable seismic vibrations, which suggests something of an underground explosion.
And number 10, Victor.
Finally, each collapse produced molten steel, which could only have been produced by explosives, and these resulted in these hot spots that remained there for months and months.
Thank you very much, Victor. Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions for this witness.